So I personally keep looking for like better chat clients or so, and it seems to be an obsession in my research group as well to find the ultimate chat client. But what I really would like is something that's not necessarily controlled by a single company. We just mentioned Facebook on that matter. And it turns out that, well, we already sort of have something like that. We just didn't really realize it. And I think this is what, well, I'm hoping this is what Holger will be talking about in a moment from the Delta Chat project, how to do messaging over email. Interesting idea. Over to Holger.
Oh. What? What is going on here? Well,
technology.
Oh, it's fine. It's F11.
I think you have to mirror.
Yeah, right, but I'm right, display.
You see it over here.
Yep.
There we go.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is, you can hear me well? I can hear me very echo, but it's fine. I always hear myself echo anyway. So this is going to be a very short, full audience talk, and then we want to kind of split a bit because there's certainly going to be, questions about various aspects of DeltaChat. It's a very, we have a huge set of topics that we regularly discuss within all of the people involved, which is like 10, 15, 20 people or so. And I'm just going to give an intro and then we fork off. So is it like other messengers? Yes, it is like other messengers in the sense that it is the same UX, the same user experience that, or at least initially, that you get with Telegram or WhatsApp. That's like the UX. This is like the thing that 3 billion people know, and it makes sense to see what you can do there. But of course, it is something else because it uses the email system, which is the most massive social technical ecosystem that was ever created. Larger than Facebook. It's like similar size than phone numbers. Maybe phone numbers are a bit more, but you know about the problems of phone numbers. So why is it interesting? It's an actually working, very federated, existing today network of servers. From Iran to India to like wherever you go, basically, there's email servers. There's activist email servers, commercial email servers, all kinds of email servers. And so we are basically doing something, resource exhaustion, protocol upcycling, right? And of course, the one of the key things that you can gain through that is that you get resilience, which means that if you have internet shutdowns, like currently in some of the countries I mentioned, plus Russia, plus many other countries, where there's like an increasing rate of internet shutdowns for political reasons. Usually in those regions, the email servers within that regions are still reachable. So people can continue to communicate today. Like, you don't need to invent something for the great future where everything is replaced. You know, it works today. And that's a very interesting proposition, we think. And the third thing is that I think for a decentralization or crypto project, of which there have been many over the last two decades, it's among the projects that is very UX focused. I mean, starting by, we want to replicate the messaging experience, and that is a certain constraint. You cannot do certain things like ask users about keys. You know, that's not the way how this works. So there's email is not dead.com. It's a funny website, probably some lobbyist stuff or so. I don't know. It's probably corrupted. The numbers are always like, but it's still interesting because they cite studies on these numbers, and it's like a massive number of messages. It's a hugely scalable system. And we are just using that. So we are not trying to create a new island. Even if it's a decentralized island, it remains an island, right? Where you can just talk within that framing. So we have centralized messaging. How many of you have been at Moxie's talk? Okay, so that's one example. But also WhatsApp, of course, or Threema or others. Then what most of these centralized messengers also use is kind of passport-based identification. So you need to provide your basically passport identification in order to be able to use messaging. And that's generally known in many, many regions to be highly problematic for people. What instead happens with DeltaChat is that we use the email system. So you have like email servers, and the devices talk to their respective email servers. And you do have something like an address mapping, but the address mapping goes from your email address, where you usually, in many instances, can avoid providing your passport, and the cryptographic information to actually address and encrypt to this address. So implementation-wise, it's going to be very quick. The core library that was initially it was designed by Björn, who's sitting here in the corner, was initially in C. Thanks. Björn, it's all for you. That actually implements the whole details about the messy details in this wonderful world of IMAP and SMTP and MIME and all of that. And the user interfaces, they work on a kind of an abstraction. They don't need to know about SMTP or anything. And through the last 5 months, we actually ported the C library to Rust. That's like its own topic, could fill like an hour or so. And there's like bindings, so there's several bots, but they're hidden, like they're not well published on the website yet, but that's coming. In Python, in JavaScript and Node, and of course there's Swift and Java bindings for the core library. Go bindings, somebody is working on it the last week or something, and probably also other languages at some point. There is the core library that does the PGP operation, which is Rust PGP or RPGP. It's completely written in Rust. It has no C dependencies whatsoever. It is also, it's not only integrated with DeltaChat, but also with Rust App. So Rust App, the toolchain install for those. Is anybody who like who's has a Rust background here? Okay, so. And it has also passed an independent security review from Include Security in New York a couple of months ago. And there's a second security review upcoming now in spring. There's the Android version with dark mode and some other things. There is the iOS version that actually looks much better than this. It's an old screenshot, actually. There was just for this Congress a new test flight package that some people have successfully installed. There is the desktop version that works on all three platforms. We are still working on getting it to the app stores, that you can just use the Windows App Store or whatever. Yes, and that's my talk. I'm kind of finished with the like intro. And now you have the opportunity to fork the audience by asking a question. Any question.
Yes.
Any question is allowed.
So any cues so that we can provide the A's?
How was the PGP keys handled on the client side?
So, more questions. How are PGP keys handled on the client side? I can try to answer this and we see if we enter into a dialogue. The keys are stored in the database, like let's say on Android or iOS. I need to go here.
Yes.
Why?
There's a loudspeaker.
Ah, okay, I see. So the keys are stored on the end device, and there's no server synchronization. I'm not sure what you mean exactly. So I think we need to have a conversation about this, you know, in a bit smaller group. So how many of you actually have DeltaChat already installed once or so? Okay. So we do have about half. We do have also test accounts that you can just use on something called testrun.org. And that's basically our laboratory where we deploy some more experimental stuff. And one experimental thing I'm going to demonstrate when we get together again. But now I would like to like just split in random groups, like three or four, and then just people discuss in this group. So, sorry?
Hi, it's kind of a newbie question. So I installed the app today to prepare for this talk.
Yes.
And I wanted to import my existing PGP key. And I found something in the settings, and it looked in my downloads ordner for my key.
Right.
I pulled my key, but it couldn't find it. So.
Yes. So all PGP import, export, encrypt, key handling, and so on question I would put to this corner, right? Just walk over there.
Is it actually working with Tutanota or ProtonMail?
I think ProtonMail...
Because they've got, they are working in a different way, so you can really use SMTP with them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, ProtonMail has a proxy that runs on localhost. And I think some people have tried to run DeltaChat against this localhost SMTP IMAP. I'm not totally sure what the state is. In principle, it should work. But I'm not aware of the current status, like does it work or not in ProtonMail.
Our audio angels are freaking out because we're getting...
Ah, okay. I'm still... I'm forced to be in the central position. Yes,
need,
I cannot escape the central position. I don't know.
Well, we need you in the safe zone. You know, we need to isolate Delta Mail here, Delta Chat.
I mean, I know that it's very nice to also just relax and listen a bit and maybe also think about other things. And so on.
We want Q's and A's, so where's the Q's?
Sorry?
We need the Q's.
Yeah, I don't want to have a public question-answer session. I want to have, like, little groups, you know? That's the thing.
Okay,
I know that you are prepared for this, like, I need to be the central person, but we did this before... And it works very nicely. People just, you know, discuss whatever they want to discuss.
So you want them to move around yourself?
Yeah, yeah, sure. So the PGP key handling goes here. Mm-hmm. And any other question goes here. And we, you want to hear me talking? Or?
Of course,
yeah.
It's very hard to escape this stage, actually. because you all insist on it.
Okay, I have one question for the people who don't know the data chat very much, like me. Suppose you have a group and you have another person who wants to enter in the group. What is needed for that?
Yes. It's so easy to show this directly, much more than me talking. Basically, you show a QR code on your data chat phone. The other side scans it. And then you establish a channel by that. And that includes kind of a key verification so that you can actually create a chat that is safe against active attacks. But the main thing on how to get in contact with somebody is this QR code show and scan on the other side. And then basically the channel gets established and you have a chat where you can talk. So it's like this. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Scan at the same time.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah, so my question might be trivial, but in countries where the internet is, let's say, compromised by the government, like in Russia or China, how would people obtain the application to enter DeltaChat? Can it be sent via email? Or?
Not really. It's currently something like 48 megabytes on Android, 50 or something. And typical email limits are like 10 megabytes or 20, so sending it via email directly does not work. But there's various ways on how people do this. Like, there's an APK on the website, always the latest Google Play release. If you can go there with get.delta.chat. And from that you can actually you can take this APK and pass it around. So in some, like in one particular country, they use the, do this by USB stick a lot, right? They have a couple of apps they distribute by USB stick, and basically it depends on your particular situation. If you do have some kind of internet, you can try to download it. Otherwise, you need to find someone who can. There's also often in countries like a local app store, and DesertJet is also available in these local app store. That doesn't count into the Google Play app store, like the numbers that you see in terms of download, but we don't care. Like, it's like, you know, whatever. No need to counting. So I think it's quite, yeah.
One question, is there a desktop version?
Yes. The desktop is here, and in the respective packages, you find it on get.data.chat. Answers the question, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm late, but do you encrypt metadata that it can is?
You know, it's so much easier to discuss this in a seven people group than with like half the audience getting bored. But I mean, who's interested in this metadata question very strongly? Okay. We are at CCC, I know. So metadata is distributed over the various email providers, right? So each email provider basically sees currently message delivery to their users and what is incoming, and then they can kind of try to find like who's in the group, you know, and things like this. So in terms of protecting metadata, the only thing is that you don't have a central point where you can go to see everything at once. Sorry? It's just like email and PGP. I mean, maybe I didn't say this clearly. There's no extra server. We are from the no hosting cooperative. There's no extra server, so it's only your email server and you. And that's why when you enter your credentials, you have to imagine this as this is an email client. It needs to have access to your inbox, otherwise it can't do email, right? It's not sending this information anywhere. It only stays between you and your email provider. So, yes.
Yeah, one question. In the description for the talk, you hinted at that you are in contact with the Asian groups, and are you making are you in direct contact with activists to make it more accessible for them?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Maybe Xenia can answer this question too. There's like seven or eight people here from DeltaChat actually, in all the various, and they were sitting hidden in the audience.
Standing, there is one there. The shyest. Yes, for activists, we did a lot of user testing and need finding research. It means that we traveled in countries like Ukraine, where there is war going still, people get killed for metadata also. And other digital traces and communication based and so on. So myself, with help of a colleague who is now not with us but still helps us, we did interviews with activists and collected, I would say, less than 100 interviews from different places. So we try to always take this into consideration. But then I think what is good about DeltaChat is that it's modulable, and with the bot ecosystem that is now developing, communities can upgrade the functions of DeltaChat accordingly. Like in Cuba, for example, where people use it for many things that you cannot imagine here. Yeah, so it's always based on users' real needs. And yeah. Some person laughing on that.
Was there a question back there? No? Okay. No question from the internet?
Very hard setting.
Yeah. Ah, there is a question.
Very hard. I know this is...
Thanks. I heard about a similar project, and also that you might be connected to that somehow, the chat over IMAP by Open Exchange. So, yeah, I would be interested in how the cooperation works and also how your whole project is funded. Do you have any public funding or?
Yeah. We have two fund. I mean, we basically got two fundings from, or are in the second funding from Open Tech Fund. It's lasting until mid this year, mid next year, actually. We also have some NLNet funding, and that's basically it. The money is organized through a company that has done several open source developments and collaborative open source stuff, basically. And so the money flows through that. But when it comes to future funding, like how do we want to go about it, it's at least trying to not take venture capital and things like this, because they tend to create certain pressures. However you legally do it, it doesn't matter. And the relation to Open Exchange, we got in contact with them 1.5 years ago, and they were very interested and started using basically DeltaChat Core. And what they're currently releasing is completely based on DeltaChat Core. So they're using, let's say, our library. Otherwise, collaboration is currently not very strong, basically. They are very focused on their releases, and they have like kind of forked and not really upstreamed. And it's a bit, you know, hopefully resolving beginning next year that they, you know, they are very basically on their own trajectory on what they're doing. But all of their products are completely based on DeltaChat Core, like what we are developing. And we're not getting any money from them. So, yes. Some people are a little bit, irritated that they make such a big marketing thing and don't even mention the core thing that they're using to actually make it work, and then put the, you know, the koi thing very much on in front. But it's their choice, like, I don't know. But funding things, really, let's talk about this, you know. I'm going to fail.
We still have plenty of time for other questions. So I see a question over there. I'm sorry we can't get your team building exercise
working.
But
set the stage in such a way it's almost impossible.
Can I use multiple email accounts in one instance of DeltaChat?
Yes, you can do this in you can do this with DeltaChat Desktop. Where was the question actually? There, sorry. You can do this in DeltaChat Desktop. So you log in, you create one account, and then when you log out, you can, you know, use other accounts. But it's only one account at a time. And that's more a usability issue than actually a limitation of the core library. We could, I mean, there are ways, I mean, you can run multiple accounts in the same process, no problem. It's just that what do you do UX-wise? So currently there's a very clear transition. Now I'm entering, let's say, my business account. And now I'm entering my other account, whatever that is for. And on Android and iOS, there's no option currently. But we have an evil plan. What do you think of it, actually? That's a good question. I talked about funding mid of the year. What if we offered for pay version on Android? You know, it would still be GPL, but it would be like a DeltaChat something for this, and then it would like nicely support multiple accounts on Android and iOS, and take some money for that. While the version that we have now kind of like remains the baseline, you can just, you know, go. So we are like in a some form of a somewhat working democracy. We can make a vote, and this will go. This might determine what we do, so be very careful with your vote. So are you okay with us offering, or do you think it's like a viable, it's an okay approach to say a team or a, like a multi-account Android iOS version goes for pay and like the single account usage is like just so? How many do agree to that? Like it's fine? Okay. And how many let's say kind of neutral, like I don't know. And how many like really against it? Like, no, it's not a good idea? Okay. Yeah, so that's democracy. Now I get to decide what to do.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah.
I'm already confused.
All right. If I get you right, the Z-Delta protocol sends chat messages packed in emails to my to my mail, and then the client collects these emails via IMAP from my account. And does this mean if I'm absent for some hours and I get 100 messages, that my email provider will interpret this as regular emails, and then I will
Bjorn,
my account will be basically spammed? Mm. Or is there any way to tell my email provider that this should not be displayed as a regular email in my account?
Can you answer?
So the okay.
It's like technology centralizes. Technology centralizes.
So the emails that come in are moved to a special folder that's called Delta Chat. So it does not pollute your inbox in this sense. So there's the idea also to delete them directly, so that it's more like a streaming thing. And I think this answers the question. Yeah. Okay.
So do we have any further questions?
So if somebody wants to join the group here publicly, you can scan this.
Okay.
It's anyway good to get your Delta Chat install ready, because we're going to show something, at least on a public stage, the first time that we hacked 4 weeks ago, which is a very interesting kind of opening thing. And you can judge for yourself. So this is just for joining the group, and we will see if somebody manages. I can also give you my... There are people around here who can give their own like phone around or so. So this is an invite code for the... Is it for me? Sorry.
You, no? Yeah.
It's the wrong... Now you're all in contact with me. I don't want that.
So, too late.
So while you're
finding... Yeah, this is the group invite code. Oh, and this is very small. Yeah, kriegen wir das schnell angeschlossen?
So while we're getting even more people on stage, there's actually one question up front here.
Is it too small? Nein, einfach, reicht doch den Laptop rum einfach. Show the laptop.
Holger, we have one question over here.
Just as feedback to my question, I read the FAQ on your website and saw you use AutoCrypt for the PGP contact. And
yes.
So to get in touch and make all the necessary arrangements, so to say, for the PGP contact, you use the AutoCrypt level 1 standard protocol, so to say.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it's AutoCrypt, so you can use DeltaChat to contact somebody on Thunderbird or K9 mail and so on. And then typically you, depending a bit on how you have configured K9 mail or Thunderbird, things will start getting encrypted while talking. So it's basically in the same spirit as the general email system.
So
some people managed to join.
Did you have a question?
So...
So we have one question over here from the post office guy.
Yep.
It's a pest to it. On email, I think you have a lot of latency due to things like graylisting and stuff. Does this also affect your chat application so that email chat delivery will be very slow, or is that somehow not? Does that not apply?
So this site, testrun.org, is a 2 GB RAM small virtual machine. It runs DDN9 with a standard postfix Dovecot install. And message delivery, if you use like a testrun thing, is like 2 seconds device to device. It's a standard DDN Dovecot postfix installation, like no special things. And the typical travel times are maybe more like 3 to 4 seconds, or 5 seconds sometimes. And then, especially initially, if you have something like gray listing or things like this, they of course can delay the initial message, right? So that's not happening so often anymore. Gray listing is like moving, like not really used very much. And I don't know, a week ago or so, I did some tests and it turned out that Gmail was like 15 seconds, surprisingly. Whereas like random click providers where you can just buy this website cheap, click, you get it, you know, they manage like 2 or 3 second delivery. So that's kind of funny, actually. But I think Gmail is typically faster. They just have some problems sometimes, you know, with all of this stuff flowing through them. Yeah. So how much? How are we in time? I don't know.
We still got like 5-10 minutes.
Or 5-10 minutes. Okay. So I think it.
Okay, one question over here.
Yes. One more question, and then we show the demo. Get ready.
My question is basically how you do background messages or something like this. So like typical push notification stuff. I guess you're calling.
Yeah.
And how is it with battery life and stuff like this?
Can you answer? Yeah. No. Okay. Test. Okay, so I answer. Or you speak in here, it's a bit difficult. No. What was the question again?
The background.
Ah, right. Well, but he's the expert. In, well, anyway. So the... Yeah. There's like a general thing in mobile, in the mobile ecosystem, there's a lot of death, you know? There's a lot of killing apps. There's the whole website called Don't Kill My App, because it's also affecting alarm clocks and whatnot. So it's getting increasingly hard to actually have anything running in the background nicely if you don't use Google or Apple Cloud, right? It's all for the good of the user. Like battery saving and the way how they explain this. But you can run DeltaChat on a Lineage OS or something like this, using it, chatting and so on for 2 days. And on one, I mean, I can do it on a 100 euro Android phone. So there is no actual battery usage problem, usually. It's just that it's sold by Google and Apple as a protection mechanism. And maybe there's some points, they have some points there or so, but the general thing of not allowing anybody to run in the background except themselves, of course, is like a very toxic thing. I mean, they really, you know, so that's something we are struggling with, but not only us, many other projects as well. And I think at some point it would be good to actually have like a arranged response to that, right?